Three people, including a child, have been found dead in the wreckage of a small airplane that crashed along the route of the Iditarod Trail sled dog race. The Cessna 182 left Anchorage on Monday morning for Takotna, a village of about 53 people on the route of the Iditarod. It was due into the village at noon, and it was reported overdue at 4 o'clock. Aerial searchers spotted the wreckage yesterday morning near the 4,000-foot level of Rainy Pass. An Alaska Air National Guard spokeswoman says they landed and found the bodies. State troopers identified those killed as 59-year-old pilot Ted Smith, 48-year-old Carolyn Savoia, and 10-year-old Rosemary Savoia. All were residents of Eagle River. Shell's damaged Kolik drill rig has arrived in Unalaska a week after leaving Kodiak. The rig will be towed to a specialized dock in Captain's Bay. Shell spokesperson Curtis Smith says the heavy lift vessel that will be picking up the rig is on its way as well. The Zhangruku left China on Sunday, according to its automated tracking system, and once the heavy lift vessel arrives, it will fill its ballast tanks, sink below the Kolik, and lift the drill rig onto its deck. The rig will then head to dry dock in Asia for repairs. Smith says so far no shipyard has been selected. The former principal of Blatchley Middle School in Sitka has been indicted on charges of sexual assault. A Sitka grand jury on Friday charged 54-year-old Joe Rabideau on six counts of felony sexual assault. He also faces an additional five misdemeanor charges for incidents that allegedly happened at the school or at the homes of faculty beginning last May and as recently as January. All of them involve other adults, and prosecutors say students at the school were not involved. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on the story.
Three people are listed by their initials in the indictment, but are not named directly. All three are adult women who, during the times of the alleged incidents, worked at Blatchley Middle School. District officials said two are teachers, and the third was a substitute teacher who no longer lives in Alaska. The first accusation came to light 1 week after Rabideau moved from his job at Blatchley to the district office, where he had just been hired as business manager. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw was in Juneau on Monday, but listened in by phone as KCAW interviewed Mary Wegner, the assistant superintendent of schools.
There's a lot of rumors saying that he was promoted because of this, and we found out afterwards, and it's important that the public know that immediately when we found out, we took action to protect our staff and to make sure that he did not have access to the schools anymore.
District officials say Rabideau left the principalship at Blatchley on Friday, January 11th. He began as business manager the following Monday, January 14th. Wegner says at the end of that week, on January 18th, one staff member came forward with allegations.
It was the police investigation that uncovered the second staff member and the substitute teacher. So we as a district don't even have a lot of the details. We only know what the one person chose to disclose to me. And then with the evidence that was presented just through her sharing, we immediately turned it over to the police for their investigation and then stopped our investigation so that we weren't stepping on the police's toes.
Wegner and Bradshaw both say Rabideau was placed on administrative leave as soon as the allegations were made. He tendered his resignation sometime during that leave, and it became effective March 1st. Sitka attorney Jim McGowan represented Rabideau at his arraignment on Friday. He said his client would not comment to reporters on the allegations. Rabideau will be represented by Juneau attorney Julie Willoughby for further proceedings. She also declined to comment. Officials from the school district and assistant district attorney Gene Seaton stress that, as far as they know, students did not witness any of the alleged incidents. Again, Assistant Superintendent Mary Wegner.
I know that with the one staff that did disclose to me, she said that there was no students that were present and that her door was locked.
Her classroom door was locked,
but students were in the building.
The district did not officially say anything to parents or even most staff members before Friday's indictment. Wegner says they told police they would not go public until the police had concluded their investigation. Bradshaw says he expects a message will go home to parents soon from current Blatchley principal Ben White. Wegner says parents with questions should call the district office and talk to her or Bradshaw.
We would be happy to talk to anybody with the information we have, but at this point we don't have a lot of the information either. We are working hard to make sure that the students and the staff are safe at all times. As soon as we heard about this, within hours we took action. And he was not around staff or students as a result of our knowledge as soon as we found out.
Rabideau appeared in court Friday for arraignment. He is free on $7,500 bond. His next court appearance is scheduled for April 11th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A woman who worked as a city clerk of Anderson has been charged with theft. 67-year-old Darla Coghill is accused of using a city credit card to charge more than $8,000 in personal items. A criminal complaint says that Coghill worked for the Parks Highway Town from March of 2008 until January of 2012. Coghill's successor, city clerk, reported the suspected embezzlement to the state troopers. Troopers say when Coghill was confronted, she admitted making the purchases but said she intended to pay the city back. She was issued a court summons on Friday. Governor Sean Parnell has appointed an Anchorage attorney to the Nome Superior Court. Parnell says in a statement that Timothy Dooley will be an asset to the community. He says Dooley's breadth of experience and temperament have prepared him for his new role. Dooley has served in private practice in Anchorage since 1993, primarily focusing on criminal, personal injury, maritime, and employment law. Dooley graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks with degrees in mining and history and earned a Doctorate of Laws degree from St. Mary's Law School. Parnell's office says Dooley has worked in a number of industries, including logging, firefighting, mining, oil and gas, and commercial fishing. A vacancy on the Court of Appeals has drawn seven applicants to fill the seat. The vacancy stems from the recent appointment of Joel Bolger to the Alaska Supreme Court. Alaska Judicial Council Director Larry Cohn says the council plans to interview the applicants. He says a public hearing on council choices will be held in Anchorage in June. The council will then have, or will then at least select two nominees and forward their names to Governor Parnell. The governor will then have 45 days to make an appointment from that list. A bill that changes which drug crimes are felonies has been moved out of committee. Senate Bill 56 would make possession of a small amount of certain drugs a misdemeanor if a person has not been convicted of more than two drug-related offenses. It would also establish an escalating scale of punishment for certain drug possession crimes, similar to what Alaska has for those convicted of driving under the influence. In a sponsor statement, Senator Fred Dyson says the fastest-growing segment of Alaska's prison population is nonviolent offenders, and he says he hopes the bill will solve the skyrocketing costs of incarceration. The bill now moves on to the Senate Finance Committee. And lawmakers in the State House have trimmed Governor Parnell's operating budget by 2%. The $9.7 billion budget was released on Monday, and every department except corrections saw its funding brought down. Behavioral health services were reduced by $8 million, and $1 million was cut from early education. Citing the decline in oil production, House and Senate leaders emphasized the need for tighter budgets. They say the state may be facing its first deficit in nearly a decade and could have to tap into $16 billion worth of reserves. The Finance Committee is taking public testimony on the budget this week, and the bill could be up for a vote as soon as next week. After that, it will head on over to the Senate for consideration there.